Good to see you all this morning. I'm Jordan Bird. I'm the pastor here at Talitha, and I'm glad you've come to join us. We are continuing to look through Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. So if you'd like to open up today, I will be reading out of the Pew Bibles. So if you did not bring your own Bible, you can just follow right along with me. It is Ephesians chapter 2, and that is on page 947. Page 947. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we will begin. Now, we're doing this for a reason, this working straight through the book of Ephesians. Sometimes it can be difficult to preach Ephesians because it's just so simple and so clear. And I have no desire to take what is simple in Scripture and make it complicated for us this morning. We're going to keep it just as simple as it is here. So, for the most part, all I have to say about this wonderful passage, which is just the perfect distilled gospel of Jesus Christ for us today, I have little more to say about this passage than to point to the verse and say, hey, isn't that great? Hey, isn't that one great too? Didn't you like that one? Scripture itself is excellent for us today. So, as we go through it, the conviction that we hold and the way we go about preaching Scripture in all our Sunday school classes and here in our worship service together is this, that Scripture is the very Word of God. So Scripture is not a dead thing. The Word of God is a living thing that goes about reading us as much as we read it. Scripture itself, the testimony about itself is the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. It is sharp enough to pierce right to the core of us. And so Scripture does. If anything needs to be brought to life today, it's not the Word of God. It is us. We are the dead things that need the Holy Spirit to bring us to life. So let's pray that way. Our prayer is always, Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you. And Father God, put your spirit on us that you may teach us something about yourself so that we can worship you better. Is that a good prayer for us today? Well, let's pray it as we go and we read this passage. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you today. Father, put your spirit on us to bring us alive to it. Father, teach us something new about yourself today so that we can obey you better. This I pray in your name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 reads much like Ephesians chapter 1 if you were here last week. You'll recall last Sunday, Ephesians chapter 1, we just talked about the gospel. And here we are again in Ephesians chapter 2 and we're just going to talk about the gospel. But you'll recall, last Sunday, as we read through Ephesians chapter 1, you hear the gospel, but it is entirely concerned and centered around our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We spent a lot of time talking about this triune God, what it means, how it is that our God, the God who created the universe, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together eternally. As you look back in chapter 1, verse 3, you see that this passage is centered around Christ and His glory. When it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. The sentences go on to start like this. For He chose us. He predestined us. In Him, He was made known to us. You read in chapter 1 this beautiful picture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit bringing salvation into us, choosing us before the creation of the world, that He could do good things in us. Now as we begin chapter 2, we're going to read that same gospel, but largely focused on our role in it. What it looks like that God came along and found us while we were dead, and He made us alive. So let's read together the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Scripture says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the gospel. You notice first, as you read this, the way the world is. What is the natural condition of man? What is the natural condition of the world? Natural condition is brokenness. It is sin. Here, read with me again, verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time. Who's them? That's the entire world. We all lived among them at one time. And what does it look like to live among the world? Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. We were, by nature, children of wrath, Scripture says. There's nothing new. There's just nothing new in the world. It's always been the same. Now it's on a cell phone. But the world has always been the world. It's never changed. And the tendency of the world has always been to endorse natural sinful desire. To say, what is it you desire? Well, that must be good for you. Whatever it is you're craving, well, that must be exactly what you need. Go after it. Do you want it? Well, it ought to be perfectly moral and safe and free and legal for you to chase after whatever it is that you're craving. Doesn't matter what. You ought to be able to go after that thing. The endorsement of the world in every situation is, what is it you're craving? What is it you're desiring? Well, that must be right, so go for it. In the world, the center of morality, the center of deciding what is right and wrong is always centered around desire. What is it you desire? Go get it. This poisonous philosophy was articulated perfectly by Nietzsche, who talked about the whole world is a struggle for power, people going to get whatever it is that they want. What is it your desire? Go get it. The person who's virtuous is the person who's strong enough to go get exactly what they want and take over everybody else. This poisonous philosophy carries on in the world today. Whatever it is you desire is what you ought to have and is good and right. And if somebody tells you otherwise, you must do away with them. This is unacceptable. Look at how the gospel starts here, saying, we were all a part of this, but to be a part of the world means born dead in our transgressions. You were born, you had a heartbeat, so you thought you were alive. But in a very certain way, when we were born and had that heartbeat and were growing, we were still dead people walking. We were essentially like a beautiful seashell. You can look at it and you say, my, that's beautiful. But it's ultimately a dead thing, a thing that simply echoes that there was once life there. It's kind of like life. There was life. There maybe could be life again in it, but it is ultimately, though beautiful, a dead thing as it is. So we were born. And Scripture tells us here clearly in verse 3, all of us lived among the world at one time. What did we do? We gratified the cravings of our flesh and we followed its desires and thoughts. We weren't our own. It wasn't our desires and thoughts, it was the desires and thoughts of this flesh, this old nature, this old man, the sin nature that lives within us. We were slaves to sin. Some will tell you it is freedom to be able to pursue whatever you desire. No, it's slavery. You are enslaved to whatever it is the whims of the flesh want from you. What we have in Christ is freedom, a freedom to say no to these cravings and desires that are wrong and broken, that are, by nature, children of wrath. Anne Frank, who lived through the Holocaust, wrote her diary. It's a masterpiece. It's a beautiful piece of literature. In it, she proclaims, you know what, at the end of all of this, I still think people are basically good. And what an act of generosity from her to have lived through such horrible things and say, but maybe people are still good inside. Though this passage tells us the case is the opposite. We are by nature children of wrath. We are by nature enslaved to desire that are not right or healthy. There is no chance that pursuing after the desires of the flesh is going to bring about peace in our life, that it's going to bring about happiness in our life. Rather, it consumes and destroys us. The world, this attitude of the world, it's like the blob. Did you see that old horror movie? I was a child. And I watched that, and I didn't sleep for the longest time. It was terrifying. We had cable for like 5 minutes when I was a child. Saw that, cut the cable. It was a terrible idea for children. That was it. Back to the bunny ears. Saw this movie, The Blob, and it's terrifying because it's this monster that doesn't stop and it keeps coming after you, and there's these, you know, great scenes of the police officer firing into the blob and it does nothing because you can't stop it. It just consumes and consumes, and the more it goes and the more it consumes, the bigger it is and the more it needs to consume, and this is sin and we participated in it. The more you live and follow after the desires of the flesh, the more they must be fed. The more you must go on living in it. Till it owns you completely and you're a shell of a person. Have you ever seen a person so far gone, so far down into their sin path? Perhaps it's drugs, and you see them at some point in your life. You wonder that they're barely recognizable anymore. So they have been consumed by sin. So we all were on that path. But God, Scripture says. However, God, verse 4, but God, because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Remember when I said I have little more to say today to you other than how great is that? Well, how great is that? What else is there to say? Does it not dawn on you that hearing of the gospel is the easy part? That it is believing the gospel that God is really as good as He says it is, He is? That takes us years sometimes to come around on? That we are progressing in this journey on of perhaps believing today more so that He actually loves us as much as He says He loves us? And look down, it gets even better. Verse 7. Verse 6. God raised us up with Christ, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We weren't just made alive. We were raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We have this spiritual inheritance from God we do not deserve. Recall the prodigal son. It is exactly our story. One that squanders their wealth and squanders themselves on wild living. And yet when we come to our senses and say, you know what, I'm going to go back to the Father. We are given an inheritance, a new one, that we do not deserve. We are not only adopted in and called sons and daughters, we are given this eternal life inheritance. We are co-heirs with Christ, Scripture says. But why? Why is He so good? In order that in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? It means how much does God love us? Verse 7, it will take the ages to come to explain just how much He has loved us in Christ Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Let me tell you how much God loves you today. I can't. Even Him, it will take the ages to come for us to begin to understand just how much Jesus Christ, who created the entire universe, all things were created through Him and for Him and by Him, and such is His love for us that He would come and die. Such is His love for us that it will take the ages to come to begin to understand just how great the love of God is in the kindness He has done for us in Christ Jesus. Frequently talk about baggage, right? Normal illustration. You usually talk about baggage in relation to relationships, right? Oh man, she's got a lot of baggage. She really comes with a lot of baggage, that one. She's got a lot of baggage she needs to deal with. You heard this? We've got this baggage that we all carry around. And why do we carry this baggage around? It is because of sin. Make no mistake. Much of it our sin, some of it sin that was done against us, which simply perpetuates sin in us. Look around. We're culpable. But in Christ, we need not carry this baggage any longer. What has been in your past? Well, you were dead then. Now, you have been made alive. Let the past be the past. You need not live in guilt any longer as a believer for yesterday, even if yesterday was very literally just yesterday. Let the past be the past. You need not carry around the guilt, the baggage of your sin that came before. Christ has forgiven it. We weren't just in a casual spiritual way, but in a very specific and real way, made alive. We were given new life. Listen, if you're not a believer here today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never heard this gospel properly, then hear it now and realize that God wants to make you alive. He's already done all the work. The verse says, even while we were dead in our transgressions, Christ made us alive. Even if today you are dead in your transgressions, He has provided a way for you to have a new life. And you will have it today if you choose to believe this. That God loves you as much as He says He does, that you are as forgiven as He says you are. And if you choose to say, all right, I'm done. I'm not going to resist this anymore. Jesus is Lord. I will obey Him as Lord. In that confession, we find our salvation. Because He has simply lavished grace on us. He has poured it out in an abundance. There is yet more of it for us to have. God's not going to run out of grace towards you. Friends, if you're not in Christ today, if you're dead in your transgressions, then today is your day to be alive in Christ. Choose Him. Call Him Lord and Savior and find the salvation that you're looking for. You don't have to live in your baggage anymore. It's true. The sins of the past scar us and harm us. It's true. Some of you struggle with a sin today because of how much you indulged in that sin yesterday. The consequences of our sin, the temporal ones, they don't go away immediately. Did you murder somebody? You're going to go to prison for that. Though in repentance, you will find eternal life in Jesus Christ. The decisions we make do have consequences now, and you may still be struggling with the consequences of those sins. But that doesn't mean God hasn't remade you. That doesn't mean you're a new creation. If today you live in guilt because you're still tempted by some sins you got yourself into, put that guilt away today and get into Christ. Follow after Him. Did you drink too much to the point where you're an alcoholic? In Christ, you'll find the strength to turn from that for good. Did you spend so much time chasing after sex and chasing after women? Did you spend so much time chasing after the wrong things that it haunts you daily? Turn from that. There is strength in Christ to live a righteous life now. What sin did you indulge? What relationship did you get yourself into that you still carry brokenness over? You may still carry that brokenness, but put away the guilt. Jesus Christ has forgiven you. God has remade you today. And what has He remade you for? What did God remake you for? He remade you for this purpose. Read verse 10. We are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, if we were born by nature children of wrath, how did He go about from the beginning in advance preparing good works for us to do? Because God knew what He was going to do. He knew that He was going to bring about new life in your life. He knew that He was going to make you into a new person. So He prepared these good works even while you were dead in your transgressions. God has made you for doing works of righteousness. You know, we just have so much fun here at Talitha Baptist Church. If you're a guest here today, welcome. I'm so glad you're here with us today. You're totally in the right spot. You found the right seat. This church is such a wonderful church to get to worship God together with. It's also so kind. This church has been incredibly kind to me. There's so many people who have come and said, oh gosh, we just love you. We're so thankful you're preaching Scripture to us. We appreciate it so much. My goodness, thank you for coming out. And I, on the other hand, secretly am thinking, my goodness, they let me be a part of this place. I, for my part, am going, trying to say with a straight face, oh, well, thank you. But how wonderful is it that God allowed me to be a part? There's not a week that goes by that I don't think about Sunday morning coming and think, how good is it that I too, even me, I get to be a part of His kingdom. I get to be a part of the proclamation of the gospel. How good is His kindness to me? Just another sinner like everybody else. How good is it today, congregation, that you too, each one of us, get to be a part of the proclamation of this gospel, whether in song, in scripture, in sharing with other people and telling them, in Sunday school, in teaching the next generation and the generation after that, in writing it all over Facebook and the rest of the internet. How glorious is it that we get to be a part, that He would even let us be a part of the work that He's doing. And yet, thus we've been called. Whatever sin has been in your life, whatever's there in the past, whatever shame you carry, Christ has made you alive. He's washed you clean that you can take a part of His kingdom, that you can put your hands on it and go about working in it. How glorious is that? You know, Meredith grew up with her parents doing that bedtime routine every night, that I love you this much. And the child says, well, I love you this much. I love you this much. And you just kind of keep straightening out. I did have parents who loved me. We just didn't do that when I read in a book. You know, I love you to the moon and back. How far do you, I love you this far and back. I love you that far and back. Love you to the moon and back. Greatest distance for children to comprehend. How much does God love us? He loves us to the cross and back. He loves us into death in the grave and then back again into life. How much does God love us? I tell you, it will take the ages to come for him to explain to us how small our brains are, for him to explain to us just how much he has loved us in his kindness in Christ Jesus towards us on the cross. Friends, let's worship God together today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you've loved us. How crazy is this that you brought us together today and cleaned us off to worship you? How wonderful is it that even while we were dead in our transgressions, we were made alive? That even before we were born and started transgressing, you had already prepared good works for us to do. I thank you for all these good works that we get to do together as a church, whether it be here in Aiken, whether it be in Boston, whether it be in Nicaragua, whether it be in Louisiana. I thank you that you have prepared all of these good works for us to do and that we get to participate. Father God, accept our worship today as worship indeed. And so I pray in your name. Amen.